Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. This Sunday is our Youth Sunday. Our youth will be leading all the worship, including the sermon. The focus will be the names of God from the Old Testament. God is referred to as the God who is faithful, or the everlasting God, or the Most High God, among other names. These various names reflect the way the writers felt about God during different times in their lives. I look forward to hearing our youth explore these names for us this morning. Psalm 8:1 says, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." We serve a mighty God that provides for us, that is always there for us, and that hears our most desperate prayers. David called the Lord his shepherd. Is he your shepherd? He is ready and willing to provide you rest, peace, and healing if you only come to him. We look forward to worshiping with you this Sunday. Thank you for listening.
Our Time of Hope features a guest worship leader, Mr. Josh Mullins from Jefferson City.
Please join me for the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Sing to the Lord in your song.
Excellent. Praise the Lord in the assembly of the faithful.
Let us be glad in the presence of the Maker.
Let us praise God with a dancing and music.
Jenny Medlin leads our children's time.
How are you all? Thumbs up good. Glad to hear it. Who has gone back to pre-K or started school yet? Anybody? Yes, some of our friends have. And who's getting ready to start on Tuesday? Yeah! School is back in session. It's an exciting time. Let me ask, have you all ever made a mistake? Oh, I love honesty. Me too. I make mistakes all the time. And is it fun when we make mistakes? Sometimes it can be fun. You're right. Yes, but oftentimes it's like, oh man, do you ever feel goofy or silly or just so upset because you did it? Do you guys ever get mad at yourselves for making a mistake? Or does somebody ever see your mistake and pick on you? Maybe a brother or sister and say, ha ha, I saw you do that. I'm gonna tell mom. Do you ever hear that? Have you ever said that? No. Yeah, is that right? Well, mistakes happen, right? And God knows that mistakes happen, but he says, continue to stay with him. Meditate, so live in, review his words. Where do we find God's words? Yeah, meditation, like that? Yeah, where do we find his words? In the Bible, Amelia, like this, right? In the Bible, you might have your children's Bible at home, or you might have a family Bible that you flip to, that your parents read to you from. Some of us have the Bible and an app on our phone, right? Do you guys ever pull up an app? Maybe you pull up YouTube? Yes, or the Right Now Media app and watch a neat Bible story. So God says, hey, continue to learn from my lessons. Stick with me, follow me through your day, and be Christians, okay? So as Christians, we understand that mistakes happen. So especially as we go back to school and we see somebody else who maybe doesn't know where the pencil sharpener is. Do they even have pencil sharpeners in school anymore? Oh, good. Okay. You don't know? I know. I see more people have screens with their Chromebooks, right? Or you have your tablets. But if you see a friend who's broken their pencil and they don't know where to go, what can you do? You can help them. You can help and say, hey, I saw you broke your pencil. Come here, let me show you where the sharpener is, right? Or if somebody is kind of roaming around the hallways, not sticking to the straight, what? Line, what can you do? Help them follow it. Say, hey friend, come stand behind me, right? This is how we should walk through the hallways, right? We stay safe. So when you go to school, I want you to start developing a habit. All right, so think about something that you do all the time in school. Maybe you do use a pencil or crayon or something to write with, a marker. So every time you pick up a marker, get in the habit of saying, geez, God, I'm glad to be here today. Thank you, God, for letting me be here today. Or, God, you know what? I had a rough morning and I just need to pray on it for a second. So when you start doing something common, or maybe you're using a Chromebook or looking at a tablet, or maybe you're sitting down to watch a TV show or commercial comes on, use that time to just have a conversation with God, okay? Maybe you can't read the Bible just yet yourself, But you can start that conversation, that prayer, and your relationship with our Father. Can you guys start that? What's something that you do regularly, on the daily, that you use a lot of? Huh? Do you guys use a tablet? You do?
Tablet.
Yeah, tablets are common. Do you use...
Tablet.
You have tablet? No?
We have iPads.
iPads, yes, yes. Phones.
Phone.
Yes.
And a phone.
You use the phone a lot, so get in the habit. When you start to see a screen, while it's powering up, what can you do? Have a prayer with God, right? Have that conversation. Talk to God about your day. Meditate and stay with Him. And remember, people make mistakes, right? So it's best that we forgive and help them find God too. God would be happy with that. Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for being here today, for the lovely fall weather coming our way. We are grateful for a wonderful summer, but we're looking forward to the next chapter this season. Please be with these children as they enter pre-K, continue with daycare, and go to school. Help them to grow in your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our senior high youth group presents our special music.
Past the point of weary, is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me take out my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Your shame's done all it's stealing. When you're desperate for some healing, let me take out my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me take out my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is, I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me take out my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah.
Beth Damp shares our scripture readings.
Our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And now, O Israel, give heed to the statutes and the ordinances which I teach you, and do them, that ye may live and go and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your father, gives you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Bel Peor. For you of all men who follow the Baal of Peor, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and ordinances, as the Lord your God commanded me, that you should do them in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. The next reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Our next reading comes from the book of Psalms likewise, but chapter 15. O Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tent? Who shall dwell on the holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right, and speaks truth from his heart, who does not slander with his tongue, and does no evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Here ends the reading.
Our guest minister, Josh Mullins, presents his sermon, Remaining in His Presence.
Please join me for a quick prayer. Father God, I pray that you use this vessel for your glory. Father, I pray from your mouth to our hearts, your word be spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, my name is Joshua, and it's a pleasure to be here this morning. I know Russ because my reverend introduced me to him. I'm in the process of becoming a member of discernment through United Church of Christ. Eventually, I'll be a mid. At this time, I'm not, and we're still in the application process. At my church, they call me a pastor in training, which they really enjoy because the acronym for that is PIT. And they remind everyone of that. This morning, I just refer to myself as a substitute preacher. And the reason why I like that is because when we were in school and we had substitute teachers, we knew one thing was for certain. We're going to be getting out early. So, and thank you for being patient with me this morning through the flow of worship. We start this morning in the book of Deuteronomy. And this morning's message, I'm going to take some time to share some personal things about my life, some things that might be hard to believe, some things that might even be shocking, and some things that might even get you shaking your head and maybe give you a good reason to pray for me. But before we get there, we're going to start in Deuteronomy. And I kind of wanted to just spend a little bit of time in Deuteronomy to ask a couple of questions. In Deuteronomy, Moses is talking about the blessed and the cursed. And he speaks to the blessed, those who keep the statutes of the Lord, who does not add to them nor take away. And to the cursed is those in the land during that time who did not adhere to the statutes of the Lord, but to their own gods. And what Moses is saying here is to be cautious, to be careful, not to take away from or give to the word of God. And I had to ask myself, what is it he's saying? And we have to remember at that time, Israel was wandering in the desert. They were wandering through many other cultures. They were wandering through many other countries. And during this time, it was easy to adapt the lives of those cultures into your own beliefs. In fact, Moses remembered it wasn't too long out of Egypt in the book of Exodus when he went and received the Ten Commandments. On his return, they had already built a cow that they were worshiping. So he was warning them and even so much encouraging them to remain in the Word of God during this time that they're passing through the desert so that they may be blessed and the Lord be with them. In the book of Psalms 1, we see the same thing. We see a warning and a guide for blessing. The warning, of course, is not to sit in the seat of the sinful or stand in the path of the scoffers. but delight in the law of the Lord, which we meditate on day and night. And if we do so, we'll bear the fruits of God, the very fruits of God. And I want to come back to what those fruits are later. Psalms 15 goes into a little bit deeper detail. And it goes into just taking inventory of our own heart. Who may dwell in the tent of the Lord? And that tent was the place where David in the book of Chronicles placed the Ark of the Covenant. So what's being stated is, who may dwell in the presence of the Lord, in the very presence of God? And at that time, David took the time to do a category of heart, an inventory of one's heart. Who can dwell before the Lord? Psalms 1 is a very personal psalms to me. It was the very first scripture I'd ever memorized. And this is where I'm going to get into some story about my life that might shock some of you, but as I'm standing here preaching, I promise you that it's true. Back in 1996, I gave my life to the Lord and rededicated my life to the Lord. And one of the first scriptures I memorized was Psalms 1. Pastor Michael Knight shared it with me, and he said, Josh, if you do this, you'll do well. He believed at that time I was called to ministry. I believed as well, so I'd felt called my whole life. Problem is, I didn't have a Bible, so I had to go out and buy a Bible. And I was excited to do so. I couldn't wait till I had my first Bible, my first. And at 18 years old, I went to Lemstone Books at Oak Park Mall in Overland Park and bought my first Bible. And I remember the smell of it coming out of the box. It was black, leather bound. It was beautiful. I made sure I wanted my name, Joshua W. Mullins, imprinted in gold at the bottom of the binding. I just had to. I saw the pastor had that, and someday I wanted to grow up and be a preacher, and I still want that. When I took it to the counter, I asked them to do so, and I couldn't wait to get this Bible home. And she told me it'd be a week before I got it back since I wanted the engraving. And I was disappointed, but I waited. I was so eager to get it. Came back a week later, purchased that Bible, took it home. And in that time in my life, I was very, very excited for the Lord, very excited to be in His presence, very excited to read His Word from the time I got up in the morning to the time I went to sleep. I was surrounded by a group of friends who encouraged in the same thing. All of them very much on fire for the Lord and wanted to read the Word as much as I did. So for about a year and a half time, that's what we did. And we studied and we sat in the Lord's presence and our hearts were full of joy, full of love, full of praise. It was a wonderful time. I'm going to fast forward now back. Oh, I forgot something I wanted to share. The one thing about me then, you may not have known, may not believe. 25 years ago, I had hair. But I didn't just have hair. I had hair. I had just moved from Southern California. I grew up on the beach. I loved to surf and skate. It's a very different culture than the culture I moved to in Kansas City. That's funny because of a story I'm going to tell later. Fast forwarding 25 years later, I think of how much the culture in America alone has changed in 25 years. In 25 years, I reflect and I look back from that kid that was 18 to this man that's now 43. What has changed in me? In 25 years, I'm still excited for the Lord. I've been a pastor, a youth pastor. I'm preparing to go to seminary. I've read the Word, and I've stayed in the Word for the most that I can. But have I taken inventory of my heart? Have I taken the time to continue to nurture the gifts that are in me, the fruits of the Spirit in my heart? And that's difficult to do in this day and age. We have cell phones. We have the internet. We have mass culture, mass influence at our fingertip at any given time. More distractions now than I ever had in 96. I laugh at my kids because I tell them when I was a kid, we had these things called bicycles. You always knew where your friends were because you'd ride your bicycle all over town. And the one house that had the most bicycles in front of it was where your friends were. We used to get out and walk more and do more. Now my kids, God bless them, they sit in front of this little thing and I tell them, you need to go out and play with your friends. And they're like, I am, Dad, they're right here in my ear. And they've got their headsets on and they're playing video games. And I'm like, don't you want to get out and see the sun? No. But that culture is always there. The influence of the internet and everything is always there. And it's hard to get away from. And so I ask myself, what do I do to influence that culture? How am I an influence, or is it impacting me more? And I'm going to share a story that I'm not proud of, but it happened. My better half and I went through a drive-thru at McDonald's to just order food like anyone does. And in this drive-thru, I had somewhat of a come apart. As the individual was taking our order, he couldn't remember half our order. I could barely hear him over the intercom, barely understand what he was saying. I'm not sure he even understood what we were saying, and I'm already getting a little bit impatient. I'm not very good in drive-thrus. And by the time we got to the window, we'd asked him for a specific condiment that's very, very normal to McDonald's, and he just looked at us lost and confused, his poor soul. And he had no idea what we were talking about. And we insisted, no, we promise you have that condiment. And he's like, no, no, I'm pretty sure we don't. And I'm like, I can see it right there in that window. It's turn around. And I'm getting more and more impatient. And he closes the window and I start grumbling and mumbling. I start going on. I'm like, man, kids these days can't even find a condiment. Too busy playing video games, stuck in the world. And I start going on and carrying on. I'm like, you know what? I blame the schools. I blame Common Core math. I can't even count back. And I'm going on and on. And praise God, the window's closed. This poor kid can't hear me. And I look in there and I'm like, man, that poor kid in there can't even afford a belt. He's wearing his pants down to his knees. And I'm like, when did culture get to there? And I'm going on and on and on and on. And then it hits me as I look over at Missy sitting next to me, and she's just smiling, looking at me, not saying a word, but her expressions say it all. And I think to myself, man, when did I become my grandmother? God bless her. She's a great, devout Christian and a Lutheran woman, and she did very much, played a big role in my life raising me, but when did I get so crouchy? When did my heart get so judgy? And I shook my head and I looked at Missy and I'm like, Missy, is that my fate? Am I growing up to be a grouchy old man? Is my heart hardening? Is that what's going to happen years from now? Am I going to be grouchy? Am I going to sit on the front porch and yell at kids playing in my lawn? Is it? Is that my fate? And she just smiled, looked back at me, shaking her head. No, you already are. And I realized at that moment, I need to take an inventory. What happened? I've been in the Word for 25 years, and I'm going to show you where I put them. I brought my first friend with me here today. This was that first Bible I was talking about. Like me, it's changed a little bit over the years. Where I had hair and I don't, it had a cover at one point. The name's no longer there. We've gone through some time together. This is now a very special Bible as it begins in the book of Exodus and ends somewhere in Philippians. And like this, 25 years that have gone by, sometimes I wonder what it is my heart looks like. Have I stayed in the Word? Have I meditated on it day and night? I have, for the most part. Have I stayed away from the scornful and the scoffers? Have I allowed culture to influence me? Maybe I've done something worse. Maybe I haven't spent enough time with the Lord to be an influence to the culture. And I'm really grateful that young individual in that McDonald's didn't hear me mumbling and grumbling, because it probably would have hurt his day, and I bet he was just doing the best job he could. So it's in these moments I decide I need to take an inventory. I need to go back to the beginning and spend time with the Lord, a quiet time with the Lord. And in these quiet times, I open my heart before Him, I get into the Word, and I begin to pray. And the same thing happens every single time. Immediately I feel His presence, and I know that I'm returning to His presence. And it's in His presence I feel love. In His presence, all fear melts before His love. The pride I had at that drive-through window is gone, because I'm humbled by the remembrance of His grace and His mercy for me. And it's in that presence that I'm reminded of the call. It's not easy to do, to stop everything, to turn off a phone, turn off the internet. Sometimes the four children that I have, I got to turn them off. That generally means running and hiding somewhere. All the cares, and the one thing I have to turn off more than anything else is this. Because though it's justified in its means, sometimes it's wrong. And I turn it all off and I spend that time with the Lord. And as the Lord is softening my heart, He reminds me of His love. At the end of these quiet times, He always closes in the book of Romans with me. Romans 37 says, but in all these things, and I take this as he's speaking directly to me, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor height, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I'm hearing this, sometimes I begin to weep. Sometimes I smile and I'm thanking him for his glory. But one thing is certain, I don't want to leave that. I don't want to leave his presence. I could stay there for the rest of my life and just soak in. And I know someday we'll all be before the Lord and spend all that time to do that. But the Lord reminds me, no, you can't just stay here. You got kids to feed. Not just the four teenagers in my home that devour my fridge, but also we have work to do. And I thank him for that time that he spent on my heart. And that's when he brings us to the book of James 1:17, the importance of this. For every good thing given and every perfect gift from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that so we would be kind of the first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all the remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers of the word, who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit the orphans, the widows, and their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Again, in this scripture, the word fruits is brought up. We heard it in Psalms 1, and we're hearing it here. We can't just be hearers of the word. I spent years reading the word, but still got grouchy. But to be doers, what are those fruits? What are the first fruits? What does it mean to be the first fruit of God? And what are the fruits that he talks about in Psalms? My mind, while I try to meditate on this, races all over the place. I'm like, God, does that mean I'm going to have a bunch of oranges and apples growing from my arms and from all over the place? And he doesn't laugh. He says, no, it's in Galatians 5:22, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and long-suffering. For apart from these, there is no law. I bless his name when he shares these things with me, because I know in his presence, I find all these things. And in his presence, in the influence of his presence, he changes my heart to bear these things. And I think back about that young man at McDonald's, and I think about the culture that we live in today. And if anything, they need that love. I don't know him, but I know he needed my love. He needed the Lord's love. He needed my patience, my long-suffering, and my gentleness at that time. And to me, it may have seemed like long-suffering, but I bet we were only there about 2 minutes. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And it's in this time, in his presence, I find his joy. And I find it only, not by my might, nor by power, but by his Holy Spirit, that we are able to do these things. And I close today in the remembrance that through all these things, it was through his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave all things for us, that we may know the Father and be in his presence. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.